السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we discussed two or three hadiths of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one or two ayat with regards to Hajj. We discussed two or three hadiths and one or two ayats of the Holy Quran Sharif with regards to Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. So it is appropriate that we should discuss something about Qurbani, because we are very soon going to be doing the Qurbani of animals. So something that you have heard in the past, but just to refresh our memories. Qurbani is not something that is unknown to the Muslim Ummah. Right from the time of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qurbani has been taking place. And basically everybody knows that it is the slaughtering of certain types of animals for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on certain days of the year. Without going into the details of those aspects, one or two things with regards to the principles of Qurbani that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not in need of the flesh or the blood of the animals. So therefore Allah ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا. Neither does the flesh of the animal reach Allah, وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا, and nor does the blood of the animal reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a taqwa in your heart which Allah ta'ala wants to see, that with what niyat, with what intention you are slaughtering that animal. If the person purchases a very beautiful animal and his niyat is merely to show the neighbors that he has purchased the best animal and the most expensive animal, then he is not going to get any reward and sawab for it. At the most, we will say from the fatwa point of view, he has undertaken the qurbani. Allah ta'ala looks at the heart, and nobody else can see the heart. The x-rays that we have, they can x-ray into our bones, and they can see into our stomachs, and they can see into our brains. They can scan our brains. But up till now, they do not have an x-ray that you go and stand in front of the machine there, and it can x-ray and tell you with what niyat you are doing this ibadat, or the zikr, or the tilawat, or the qurbani. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he sees directly into the hearts of the people. Therefore, unfortunately, we have many brothers who purchased animals last year, and in fact years ago, and they haven't even paid for those animals. Many farmers, without a word of lie, many farmers, they say when qurbani time comes, they are skeptical and doubtful at times that whether they are dealing with the right person or wrong person. Many people have purchased animals, they have sold it, and they have digested the profits, and as yet they haven't paid for those animals. So what is the purpose of such a qurbani? Therefore there is no need to do 100 qurbani. If the person can do one good animal, then do one good animal, whatever is wajib. Nevertheless, that is a different story. What we are talking about is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the blood of the animal or the flesh of the animal does not reach him. He's not interested in seeing. What benefit will Allah ta'ala get? What he is interested in is with what niyat and with what intention you have done the qurbani. Therefore, if we have to look at qurbani in the short time that we have, we can't really go into any detail. But the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullah Ali Majmain, when they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma hazihil adahi? What are these sacrificial animals all about? What is this qurbani all about? Why should we slaughter animals in our times? What is the benefit? What is the reward? So Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. Is that the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But before we come to that, let us also just discuss one or two things which are very important with regards to the 10 days that will be following. We all know that we are going to be looking for the moon. There is not much possibility of a sighting today. But as soon as the moon for the month of Zilhijjah is seen, those are 10 very, very precious and valuable and mubarak days and nights. Allah Ta'ala takes qasam in the Quran Sharif, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْ وَالشَّفْءِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ. So in that ayat of the Quran Sharif, again if we have to go into the tafsir, we require hours, but basically Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam. Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam with regards to these 10 days and 10 nights of Zilhijjah. Walayalin Ash, the 10 nights. So this qasam that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes is to show the importance of ibadat in these nights and days. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that whoever prays in the nights of those 10 days of Zilhijjah, it is equivalent to staying awake in the night of Laylatul Qadr. In the night of Qadr, the ibadat that a person makes, he gets the same sawab if he has to stay awake in the 10 nights of Zilhijjah, the first 10. In the same way, as far as the fasting is concerned, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that the person who keeps the fast of any of these days, he gets the reward of 1 year's fasting. 1 year's fasting sawab if he fasts on the first, second, third, fourth, whichever day of Zilhijjah up till the ninth. And for the ninth of Zilhijjah, which is the day of Arafah for the pilgrims, but whichever is the ninth in any country, on that day if the person has to keep a fast, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I've got hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he will forgive the sins of the past year and the coming year. And whenever this type of hadith is mentioned, it means those minor sins which a person commits, which we commit by the millions and billions in our lifetime. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive those minor issues and minor sins just by the fast. And according to one hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that fast of the ninth of Zilhijjah is equivalent to the fast of 1,000 days of fasting. Now so much of reward and so much of sawab. And also that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you have to look at the meaning of other hadiths, just to give you the gist of it, Allah Ta'ala dearly loves the ibadat of these 10 days. The 10 days, Allah Ta'ala dearly loves the ibadat. On no other day does He love ibadat as much as He loves on those 10 days. Therefore, Shaykh Muhaddis Abdul Haq Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that that there is a problem here, because one side we have the month of Ramadan and one side we have these 10 days, the virtues and the fazilat. So what is what? So he says in the Zilhijjah 10 days it is the day, and as far as Laylatul Qadr and the last 10 nights of Ramadan are concerned, it's the nights. But that is a different issue. But what we have to look at is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, what does He expect of us in these 10 days of Zilhijjah? What should we be doing? So we should not be indulging in those things which are sinful, at least. If we cannot make ibadat, if we cannot make zikr and tilawat, if we cannot engage ourselves in anything constructive as far as nafil is concerned or optional ibadat are concerned, then at least we can restrain ourselves from haram. I recall having mentioned in some other talk, I think probably here in this masjid it must have been, that if only Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to be here in our Durban now and he had to be addressing us from this minbar and he has to give us the virtues of the 10 days and the 10 nights, and he says that this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dearly loves in this 10 days of Zilhijjah, that you keep fast or you make ibadat, you make zikr, you make tilawat, you do good and rightful deeds and actions. But then we say, no, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that might be your desire and your pleasure, but we are addicted to drugs, we are addicted to TV, and we are addicted to movies, and we are addicted to zina and adultery and fornication. So it's very nice and very interesting whatever you have to tell us, but unfortunately we won't be able to indulge in ibadat or zikr or tilawat or stay away from haram at least. Then what would we think of that person's iman? So these hadiths, they are not just to listen. It is so that we may put it into practice and get the benefits and the virtues. So that was as far as very briefly the virtues of the 10 days. Otherwise there's so much if you have to look at the hadith of Wal Fajr Wal Layalin Ash, the tafsir of that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned, again to get back on track, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned that what is Qurbani, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, it is the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So what was the sunnat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, did he buy one camel, or did he buy one ox, or did he buy one sheep and just slaughter and say this is Qurbani? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's sacrifice was not that of an animal. A fidya and a ransom was given. Allah Ta'ala sent a ram and it was slaughtered after that in the place of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But I repeatedly mention this, that we have to put ourselves into the shoes of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, that they are not being ordered to sacrifice one animal. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is told to take the knife and put it over the throat of his beloved son Hazrat Ismail. Sometimes it is easier for a person to take his own life than to take the life of his beloved son. And here again, the son was not ordinary son, it was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was going to become the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or he was already a Nabi. So when he was told that you must put the knife over the throat of your son, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not question what is the wisdom behind it, O Allah. And Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam did not question that what is the wisdom behind it. If it's an order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there is no questioning of the wisdom. If we can understand the wisdom, and there is great wisdom in every hukam of Allah ta'ala, there's great wisdom. Because there's nobody more wise than Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is hakim and he is hakim. Therefore all those people who have restlessness and depression and worries and all kinds of problems, we tell them that if you only have this yaqeen that Allah ta'ala is hakim to and is hakim to, that he orders, he commands, he does what he wills. He hasn't made us members of his cabinet committee or members of parliament that he's going to make mashwara with us. And after consultation with us, then he will decide what is good for us and what is bad for us and what we should be doing. Allah Ta'ala is Hakim. He is our creator. He knows what's best for us and he makes the decisions and we cannot question him. So if we believe Allah Ta'ala is Hakim, but together with that we don't believe in Allah Ta'ala as being somebody who does everything haphazardly and everything is just happening without any control and without any direction and without any discipline, na'uzubillah. Allah Ta'ala is Hakim. He knows exactly what is happening in the world and it's happening with the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If there are earthquakes, there are tremors, there's disasters, for everything there's wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if we believe in Allah Ta'ala as Hakim and Hakim, then the person will get some sort of consolation and he will look and into himself that where have I gone wrong? What is wrong with me? And not what is wrong with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, na'uzubillah, as we question these days. At present, that is our attitude towards everything that is happening, that we are questioning the decision of Allah Ta'ala, whereas we should be questioning what has gone wrong with me. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't question what was the wisdom. And Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam too, he said, if alma tu'mar satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Oh my dear father, you go ahead with whatever you have been ordered. If you have been told to place the knife on my throat, you do so. And you will find me of the sabirin, of those who are the patient ones. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this qurbani is the sunnat of your forefather. Meaning that Allah Ta'ala, what he really wants is that we should reach that stage in our lives where we say that not only our wealth, our property, our home, our children, everything is for Allah Ta'ala, but even our lives are for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala says, give your life, we are ready to give it. If we look at the month of Ramadan that came, in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala made roza farz. Then again there was Taraweeh. There was recitation of the Quran Sharif. There was Zikrullah, Ibadat, Tilawat, plenty of istighfar and plenty of tawbah. What was all that for? For purification of the soul. That is what it was for, that we get clean and purified. Why do we get clean and purified? Because the days of Hajj are going to commence. Immediately that you see the moon of Shawwal, that means as soon as Ramadan Sharif ends, the months of Hajj immediately begin. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was then going to call us towards His house. The Hajis were going to proceed towards the house of Allah Ta'ala. And we call it the house of Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala doesn't reside there. Allah is not body that He requires some kind of home. It is the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala that is there on that piece of ground. Therefore, even if those walls have to, for some reason, be removed, and the Kaaba Sharif has to be demolished, then too we will still pray in that same direction. Because it is that tajalli of Allah Ta'ala that is cast on that particular piece of ground, which we term as the Kaaba Sharif. So Allah Ta'ala is not residing there. But we say that the Hajis are proceeding now to the Baytullah. But the Maqsad is not the Baytullah Sharif. The Baytullah Sharif you can face from here too. The real Maqsad and purpose there is to make ziyarat of the Rabbul Bayt himself. Therefore, when one person was proceeding for Nafil Hajj, so his Shaykh asked him, that this pious saintly Shaykh of his, that Wali of Allah Ta'ala, he asked him that, have you recognized the Rabbul Bayt that you want to go repeatedly for Nafil Hajj? So he said, no, I haven't recognized Rabbul Bayt. He said, well, then you stay with me 1 year. So he kept him with him 1 year, and he gave him spiritual exercises, and he made sure that every particle of food or every morsel that went into his belly was nothing but halal. And when he made plenty of tawbah and istighfar, and when that ruhaniyat and spirit of Hajj developed in him, then when he went for Hajj, he said, now you can go. When he went for Hajj, this time his Hajj was something else, because now he saw the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Kaaba Sharif. We cannot see anything there. All we see is a mass of human beings that are making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, which is indeed, of course, a great and a Mubarak Amal. But what I am saying is that when we proceed with this kind of a heart. Therefore, the real thing is to go and meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself, or to be able to see with our naked eyes the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala in the Kaaba Sharif. Then that we will say the person has indeed now met Rabbul Bayt, and he has recognized the Rabb of that Bayt. Hazrat Malik ibn Dinar Rahmatullah Alayhi, one incident just comes to mind, that he says that there was one person with us in Hajj. When I asked him that, have you taken enough provisions for Hajj? He said, why should I take provisions for Hajj? Because I am going to the house of the most generous of all. Now of course that is not for us. We must have that kind of tawakkul and yaqeen as he had. I repeatedly mention this because sometimes we get a misunderstanding that now you can proceed for Hajj without money in your pocket, and then every time we'll be asking the friend who is with us, have you got a few dollars to lend me and spare me? And when he will be dishing out some food, then also we'll be glancing like that, that he hasn't offered me as yet. When will he start offering me? So that kind of yaqeen and tawakkul is not what we are talking about. We must have that tawakkul and yaqeen like he had, that he was not going to cast his glance and sight and gaze on any person's purse or wallet or pocket. If he had that kind of yaqeen and he proceeded without provision, it was jais for him. But for us, our yaqeen is so weak that we have to take provisions and go. So when he asked him that, why are you not taking provision? He said, because I am going to rub the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I am going to meet Rabbul Bayt, and he's the most generous, he's the Razzaq, he's the provider. Why should I take provisions and go? And all along the road, he says, he was just full of ecstasy and joy, full of ecstasy and joy. And he says, when we came up to Makkah Mukarrama, then there, when it was time for Ihram, he says, he kept hesitating to put on his Ihram. We told him that now it is time for Ihram, but he didn't proceed further, he just stopped. And he was turning colors and turning pale. He said, why are you so scared? Why don't you put on the Ihram? He says, I am concerned that when I am going to say, Labbaik, Labbaik, I am present, O my Allah, the reply must not come, La Labbaik wa La Sa'daik. You are not welcome here. Your presence is not accepted. After much difficulty, he put on his Ihram. And after he put on his Ihram, then he says, we proceeded. Then when we arrived at Arafat, and from after Arafat, now we had to go and sacrifice animals. So he says, when the time came for sacrificing of animals, this young person raised his hands towards Allah. And he said, "Oh Allah, these hajis, they have come here with provision. And they have purchased animals which they are now going to be slaughtering. Oh my beloved Allah, I don't have an animal with me, but I have my life with me. Take my life away here, oh my Allah, so that on the day of Qiyamah I can say that others presented their animals and I presented my life to you." And he collapsed and he passed away. So that is what Qurbani was. Qurbani was the giving of one's life, that the person purified himself in Ramadan. Now after he has purified himself, then he didn't go indulging again in the same sins and vices and evils. After that, now his heart was filling up with that excitement and with that joy, that now my time is coming to meet Rabbul Bayt. And now he is proceeding towards Makkah Sharif. And when he arrives there, after he has made his tawaf and after he has made his umrah and he's gone to Mina Arafat, and when the time comes for Qurbani now, so at that time he recalls that it was not Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sacrificing an animal. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was putting the knife on the throat of his son. So therefore, if I cannot put the knife, if I had been ordered to put the knife on the throat of my son, I would never have been able to do it. How many of us would then have even made Qurbani? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it easy for us. He says that, all right, if you cannot give your lives, or you cannot give the lives of your sons, then at least I'm making it easy for you that you purchase one good animal, and that will be the badal, that will be the substitute for that Qurbani which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sunnat it was. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives me life, health, and the opportunity to continue, then inshallah next week we will continue on this Qurbani one more lesson, inshallah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala develop in our hearts that muhabbat of His, that love of His, that marifat of His, that yaqeen of His, that we enjoy a closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and a closeness of Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from them for even for a single moment of our lives. The moment we will get the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we will stop asking the wisdom behind this and the wisdom behind that. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.